You might like to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 4. And we've been looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, which is essential, and you can't do without it. And to illustrate that at the moment, as we are in 2 Corinthians here. And so the human head, heart, body, soul, spirit, the body houses the soul houses the spirit, and the spirit is that which makes us different than everything else. Angels are spirit. That's why they can have great communication and freedom with understanding God. Antelope don't have spirits. Humans do. Humans are what? Given the spirit. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And without a spirit, nothing. So when you get saved, and God makes it possible to get saved, you believe, and God does a wonderful thing and comes and saves you. Now, to say that in a more fuller way, because you need to understand it and enjoy it. You can't, hang on, they'll come together. In our study, looking at the Spirit of God. Here, 2 Corinthians 4, you're familiar with verse 3. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They're unsaved. They have no light. They have no life. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, making something happen, keeping something from happening, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, the Spirit of God's ministry is to have you believe. Satan and the system don't want you to believe. Believing is an active verb. It's a resting. You're believing the pew. You sit down. You're actually doing it. And the reason we know you're believing, because you're sitting there. And no matter what's in your head or what's in your mind, you're still believing in the pew. You're allowing the pew to be a pew. And here we are looking, talking, thinking about each other. But the pew never stops being a pew to you. And you are believing it every single second. No matter how you feel, the pew may give way. You can feel it. How do I know it'll last? You can say all of these things in your head and in your heart, but it never stops the pew from holding you. And every single second, as you wander in your mind and heart, the pew is holding you and you are believing it, or else you wouldn't be sitting there. Do you understand that? Now, so the devil wants you to what? Not believe. Not believe. If you don't believe, you won't be sitting there. Not to believe. Once you believe, believing is a relationship. Now, put that together in the context. It'll help. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember what you know all this. I'm reminding myself, and hopefully may help you. What are we reminding ourselves? How does the devil believe? How does the devil blind? And how does the heart believe? So, the illustration that leads to chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, is in chapter 3. And God going back to Moses, and verse 13 again, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. In other words, Moses had his face shielded. They asked him to cover it. They couldn't look at his face. It was full of light. He had just been with God. And he brought that glory in his face. And they didn't want to see it, too bright. So they had him cover his face. So they didn't see it. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So as long as the Jews don't believe, then they don't see. And they had to believe. They reject Christ. So therefore they can't see. Hang on. Since they can't see, sliding over in the veil, chapter 4 and verse 6, 4 and 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's right. In darkness, we need to see. Has blinded the mind, verse 3, 4. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? When you believed, when you allowed the pew, and you sat down and you believed, then you have the wonderful benefit of the pew. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you have the wonderful benefit of light. He is light. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In your heart. What's it doing in your heart? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To be able to see Christ is the light of the world. When you received him as your Savior, he brought light into your life so that you could see. When you didn't believe, you're blind. You're blind. You have a spirit, and it's a dead spirit. It's a light, back to the light bulb. It's a light bulb with no filament in it, everything's there, but there's no power. Just might as well keep it in the box. Just a plain old light bulb. And you have to have power. So, and believing gives it a relationship to God that brings the life of God and the light of God into your heart. Now, so if you don't believe, you got a light bulb, filament, no life. You're not saved. So, having said that, now back over to put that together. It all goes together. 2 Corinthians 3 and the end of verse 14. The veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even now this day, verse 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They can't see. We aren't talking about the eyes. We're talking about the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, not with the eyes. It's with your heart that you believe unto righteousness. What do you need to see in your heart? You need to have light in your heart. You need to have life in your heart. That's where you live. Your body isn't you. Your soul and spirit are you. You live inside. And we say it for the umpteenth time. Everyone is of the same size. And everyone's the same. Moses is the same as you are. David was the same as you are. Same as I am, same as you. You don't have a different God. You don't have a different God. God's God. God is God, and a wonderful God. You can't have more of God. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have God, as we'll see coming up. Now, so, first chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 16. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when the heart believes, back over to chapter 4, verse 6, it receives light, and you stop being blind, chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. You stop being blind. The minute you sat down in the pew became what it's supposed to be, a pew, and it holds you up, regardless of what you think, fear, frustrated, whatever you want to do. The pew is the pew. And as long as you reign at the left in the pew, rest in the pew, you enjoy the pew. You may not enjoy the pew. I'll do it a different way. If you were in the kneading and you needed to lay down, to be down, to rest, and then here's the bed. The bed's a special bed, a comfortable bed, and you lay down on the bed. Now the bed's the bed. It's going to hold you. You don't have to use your feet. You don't have to use your hands. The bed holds you. Now, you could enjoy the bed and say thank you for the bed, or you could lay there and worry a whole lot. But worry doesn't change the bed, and doubt doesn't change the bed. Depression doesn't change the bed. All of that is there, but the bed remains the bed. God remains God in your life. He's the Savior. He's the light. You can be all over the place and live 10 years out of fellowship. But the bed was always the same, and God was always the same. You and I just lost out because we didn't rest. Now, so, verse 16, nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, remember the Spirit of God's ministry we're looking at. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it all, make, do a different, coming back again. The God, the pew is made to be the pew. God is made to be God. God is God. And he says it 1,000 times, it seems, wonderfully. I'm the only God and the only Savior. There is no one else besides me. I'm the only one. And he says it. Can't change it. I can be another God. No, you can't have another God. There are no other gods. I can trust, no, you can have idolatry up your eyeballs. Won't do any good. Won't do any good. I'll be religious. You can be religious up to here. Won't do any good. You don't replace God. You just don't replace God. Now, having said that, we're changed. All of that is to go back to where we were. Back over to 1 Corinthians. Well, before I do that, let me do one other thing that will tie it together. Over to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 13. Matthew in chapter 13. And you will note, way back in Isaiah chapter 6, why Isaiah is to be encouraged in his ministry. In Isaiah chapter 6, he takes his assignment. The Lord says, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. That's fine. Now, and therefore, jumping ahead, here's Isaiah. And Isaiah says, now I'm going to go. Who do you want me to go to? Gentiles? No, I want you to go to the Jews. I want you to go to the Jews. Because Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, go to the Jews. So you go to the Jews. And you're told in very clear language, your whole ministry of 40 years is going to be zero. When you're all done, it's very hard for me to find believers in Israel when you're all done. A very small remnant is going to end up there. And your whole ministry is zero. So for 40 years. And the same for Jeremiah. Jeremiah 40, 41 years. Jeremiah, don't get discouraged. Do the job. So no one will say at the great white throne judgment, no one will say, well, God, if you'd just done that for me. God's going to say, listen, no one will ever say anything at the great white throne judgment, and they don't say it. Now, because there's nothing to say, God let them all know. And so therefore, chapter Matthew, and remember, Isaiah chapter 6 is repeated 2-3 times in the book of Acts. Here's one of them. Matthew chapter 6, in the light of Israel, Matthew 11 and 12. And Matthew chapter 13, I should say, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 13, sliding down for time, if we can. Well, picking up in verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whomsoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. So the more you believe, the more you get, the more you understand the pew, the more you rest in the pew, the more you thank God for the pew, you stay with the pew. And you have less discussion about the whole thing because you're believing. So you don't have to have a lot of, what about, how do you know what's true? How do you know what is this? You don't have to do that. Now you're resting. Now, so therefore, whosoever hath shall be given. I'm picking up if I can. More abundance, verse 12. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. And keep in mind now, keep in mind Romans 1. Romans 1, 19, 20, 21. God said, I have made myself known to every single baby born on planet Earth. So that little baby has to grow in the Australian outback or in the top of a Soviet prison camp. That baby has to grow, and I'm going to make myself known to them. Now what they do with it, Romans 18, 19, 20, 21, they became thankful, unthankful. They looked around. No one else is doing this. So they follow the same suit and don't believe. The minute they don't believe, they're pushing the light out of their life. God wants them to understand. They push it out of their life. Push it out of their life, and they don't understand. That's what you're reading. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, they what? They don't see. I see. All of us can read the same Bible right in front of you. Same words. One will see and another will not. One will, hang on, you'll see it. It isn't that you can't do it. You can hear the same words, see the same everything. You can do all of that. Then they had it. Let me keep reading. Verse 13, therefore speaks with them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. By seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For reason, this people's heart is waxed gross. Remember to believe in your heart, they don't believe. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they don't want to see, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They don't want that. Negative. Unbelief. This is some mystery. It's a mystery, it is. You could believe, but you don't want to believe. But we all see this. We can all see the Bible. We can all hear the same thing. And then we miss. What happened? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians, and in chapter 2. And in chapter 2, remember we shared together, we did it in order. God, we're supposed to understand and enjoy God's wonderful grace. We're supposed to enjoy the pew being the pew. To let God be God in his saving grace. You just have to believe. That's what you have to do. And if you don't believe, you won't see. That's carnal. Hang on. Now, picking up. So therefore, the Spirit of God's ministry, we did verse 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make the word of God's wonderful truth real for you. He gives it life. He gives it light. The words that I speak unto you are spirit. They are life. Pregnant. Not just pregnant, they're blossoming. Full of life. Full of fruit. Now, so, and therefore, in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How are we going to know them, God, without you? We can't. Can't know them. But we can know them. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't. You can read the Bible and claim its promises and be a professor in a seminary and teach it, do whatever you want. And when you're all done, you still don't know. You don't know me, said God. You're going to say, we cast out demons in your name. We did all kinds of things. God said, I never knew you. I never knew you. And you never knew me. Wow. See? Tricky. The devil is, he's an angel of light. And he plays the game. The system does. So that we'll see every, can't you see that? Oh, I see that. But you need to understand this. This is wrong and this is right. And we go and do what we do. And we lost the simplicity of resting down. And what happened to Cecilia? Wait, maybe, I hope it's all right. Right now, I'm going to change the little bit, if I could. I want to tell you, like the television does sometime, you could have this wonderful product. You could get diabetes, cancer, or die. And then it gives 20 other things. But you need it. You need it. Okay. So here we are in the pew. And I'm going to spend the next little bit, if I could, and telling you why you should never sit on that pew, the germs on that pew. Do you know who ever sat on that pew before you did? Do you know? And I tell you all the stuff. But when I'm all done, and you got everything, isn't the pew still the same? And all the stuff I said was a whole lot of talk about it. People have a whole lot of talk about Bible and truth, but they don't know the truth. To know it is to enjoy the pew and let it hold you. And what are you doing? You're believing, like we shared earlier. You're believing the pew. You're believing, active verb. You're being fully persuaded. The pew's the pew. It's meant to sit down, and you sit down. Now, so therefore, the natural man receiveth not the truth, but God, the Spirit of God, brings the truth. And therefore, you know, in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we have to go and stay on FM like we shared, not AM radio. Your radio set was designed for AM and FM. But the AM is what you work with earthly, and you need to have the AM adjusted to tune it in, to use it. You have a spiritual, you're spiritual, God is spiritual. You need to be spiritually saved. You need to be spiritual. You need to have a same life. Life. We have physical life. When you get saved, you have spiritual life, wonderful spiritual life, so that you and I can talk to God, trust God, enjoy God. That's what we can do. And say, thank you, God. And it's just as real. Just as real. We walk by faith and not by sight. And God said, that's the only way you do it, because flesh will not see it. You have to do it from God's position. So 1 Corinthians 3:17-18, it is the Spirit of God's ministry to change you from one image to another, to keep seeing better. And you keep seeing better. That's there. You have to look to God. We read the Word of God, and we look at the Word of God, James 1:25, the law of liberty, we look at it, and it helps us understand. We understand. Up here I don't understand, but down here I do. And I look at God's Word, we look at God's Word, and it does a wonderful, wonderful thing for us. It helps us. So I need to do that. I need to be spiritual. Where am I going to be spiritual? From chapter 2 and in verse 13, which things also we speak, not 2 and 13, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And we read the Word. And we let God speak to us. And that's what we look for. We're letting God talk to us. God, there's God. God doesn't speak out loud. He could. He could do it, that's for sure. But he doesn't do it. He's given you his Word. And his Word is to be believed. God has put his Word, Psalm 138, has put his Word out here, as it were. He is God. God said, listen, I've done everything all the way to the cross and made it possible for you to understand. Now, I'm not going to say anything. I want you to believe what I've written. These things are written that you might believe. John chapter 20, verse 30, 31. They're written that you might believe. Believe. I'm not going to do anything. I could make the stars all, make them room full of stars, little stars. I could do all of that. Well, I'm not going to do that. I want you to believe. I said something. I did something. Believe me. Believe me. I don't believe. That's your problem. You better believe, because you have no choice. If you don't believe, you're going to be lost, and you'll die in your sins. You can't be saved. I'll be saved. No, you won't. No, you won't. But I did that. You won't make any difference. I did this. I wanted that. You can do all of that. It doesn't save you. God saved you. Now, so therefore, spiritual. And all of that leads us to where we were. Verse 14. In contrast to the light bulb being lit. Verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Is that pretty clear? You have to have FM. But I don't have it. Then you don't have it. You don't have it. You can hear AM. You can hear the same music, the same everything. On AM, maybe. You can read the same verses. We can read. We're reading them. We're reading them. But they won't sink in. They don't do the same. They don't do the same. And you have to want, we need to be believing. Believing's letting it be, let it become real in your life, and active in your life. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually discerned. Therefore, verse 13, 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, because all the AM in the world doesn't change FM. And if you're going to look to God rightly and believe, then that's where it is. No matter how, back to the pew situation, no matter what anyone says about the pew, doesn't like the pew, I'm not going to come into that building and sit in that pew. Do all anything you want. It doesn't change the pew. It doesn't change the pew. But they never enjoy the pew, because they don't sit in the pew. And you got to sit, you got to believe. So therefore, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he, purpose, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and that's where we let this mind be in you. How can it be in you? By God's word. We're letting the pew teach and understand. So each day we go by, we're still being held by the bed. We're still being held by the pew. We're still letting God be God, and God doesn't change. So we're letting God be God, and we rest in God's wonderful, wonderful saving grace. And God does what he does in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, a long way around to say the same thing again, over and over and over, but it's all right. Until what we tried to mumble for us to think about, until that's floating, not floating, it locked in. You take it out of the blackboard and you etch it into the stone, the truth. Like God wrote his word on tablets of stone, he wrote it. So you can't erase it. The rain won't make it go away. It's just there, locked in. You want that locked in. And once you lock all that little series we just tried, man, you're going to have something. If you really got it, you're not going to have a... Tomorrow I'll wonder if I'm saved. You'll never do that again. And you'll never wonder, well, boy, everything's so bad. And you're depressed and depleted and disappointed. But that, for 1 minute, will not change your relationship, that you know you're saved. You know you're saved. You always know you're saved. You're safe. You're safe. As a little boy, I knew I was I never feared death. I had a sense of, there's no, if I die, God, I'm going to be with you. That's what I knew. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand that. It was just in my head. I just knew it. I just knew. And I grew up. I think I grew up. I'm growing up. It's when you get older, you grow up slower. Do you understand? In one sense, you grow up slower. Your body goes down, and your head is tired of going up. But, you'll learn very quickly, because you know what? You used to think you're invincible, right? Able to overcome everything and everything. The older you get, not you guys, of course, the older you get, you know that's a stupid thing. And you know what you say, you wouldn't trust yourself for 2 seconds. I wouldn't trust my stupid self in anything. That doesn't mean I don't do something. Do it whatever you do. And you do it. But it's all right, because I'm not trusting it. I'll give you an illustration I just went through. If it's practical, because you may have things in your life. I had filled the coffee little maker with water. And I said, it was too late at night, so I wasn't going to do it. So I just left it. So I got up this morning and whatever. And I got to go get the coffee because the thing was empty, whatever. And in the process, I got to get water. So I got the big thing of water. And I pour it in. And the water goes everywhere. I said, that can't be. I'm putting it in the right place. And it kept doing it everywhere, water. And do you know why? Because I forgot I filled it already. So I tried to fill it and fill it again. It went everywhere. And finally it dawned on me. I said, this is impossible. And then I looked. And I said, oh. Have you ever made things like that? What you do is you're learning what? The frailty of your own heart, and you stop trusting yourself. You trust the pew. You thank God the pew's the pew. You thank God that he's God, and you rest in it for real, not make-believe, for real. And that's where it is. Now, having said that, in looking, chapter 3, we're looking at the Spirit of God's ministry over and over and over and over again in every place, in every way. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 24 times. Now, sliding right along, over to chapter 3, over to verse 16. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire, because God can't be changed. Verse 16, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You need to know you're the Spirit of God. That's what you knew. You are the temple of God. The trouble with the Corinthians, they knew all of these. Now, remember, you've got to keep in mind the early church. Way back here in 50 AD and that kind of thing. The early church, God, they didn't have an Old Testament, each one of them. They didn't have an Old Testament, some might have, but they had no New Testament like that. So, like we have. So, God did everything. That's why the Book of Acts and all of that's so wonderful. God provided the apostles, etc., gave the message of the risen Christ. And they were for real. And God stamped, because every heart, many people were baptized by John the Baptist, looking for the Christ to come. And here are the apostles bringing out the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ has risen again, et cetera, which was all well known, but not understood. So therefore, when they believed, God did everything for them. He took them, brought them together, and the Spirit of God gifted them, as we'll see. He did all kinds of things. And they just were excited about a way to illustrate that. If you and I could envision ourselves at Mount Sinai, they've crossed the Red Sea, and here we are crossing the Red Sea. Now, that's an experience for us, right? Going across 4.5 miles or so of the Red Sea. So here we are crossing. Now, in that experience, that's a real experience. We don't have paperwork. We don't have anything. We just know. All we need to do is look to the left and to the right, and here is this huge wall of water standing up like this, and standing up, and God just opened it up like that. That's an experience. That's an experience. You can't miss that. And you can't miss it. So, and God did that. So the early church, had God made up the difference. God let them know he was God. And the apostles, they were alive. It was a whole nother ball game. And people were saved in a wonderful, wonderful way. And they were gifted. God just did this and did this and did this and did this and made the whole atmosphere singable, made it to sing, to harmonize on his same page as he was. And he did that. He did that in a most wonderful way. And they had that. They had all of that. And you need to understand that, because you say, well, the Corinthians, hold your finger here, chapter 1. I know we aren't getting very far, but hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God, the assembly of God, which is located in Corinth, the city, to them that are sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus. They happen to be saints, called to be saints. They're saints with all the other believers in all the other cities, every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. They were very, very sliding down. Verse 5. Then in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. God did everything for him. So you have to understand that atmosphere, and you have to see it. And God was doing it. If anyone was like Ananias and Sapphira, didn't do good, but if people weren't with it, they didn't have it. They didn't have it. That's why they were saved. And that's why you read in 1 John, many went out from us because they were not of us. They did not want to, whatever this life is, they talk about going away. I can read the same thing, but they read it and it's different. Those people are different. That's right, 1 Corinthians 14. And the unsaved and the carnal will go in and they'll say of a truth, God was in that meeting. God was in them, not in the meeting. God was in them. And that's hard. Wow, that makes it different. Because now you can't, how do you bring AM to sing John 3:16 on AM, and we're all singing John 3:16 on FM? You see, doesn't match. I'm going to where it's all AM. See, when we are singing all in AM, yeah, I sing just like they do. But if you're going to be spiritual and let God be God and enjoy the pew, then you're going to have that relationship. And it's different. I don't know whether that helps you. People are different. And you look at it, you'll see it's different. Different. Not AM, FM. Different. now. And therefore, verse 16, the church in Corinth assumed a whole lot. And they had a whole lot of trouble. They assumed that they were gifted. They assumed that they could do whatever like the world does. They went to court when they didn't need to be. And all kinds of things. They were, look at chapter 3. It will be right in front of any of you. Chapter 3, sliding down. Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. No, because you were an AM. But as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Why? For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. You still aren't. So the Corinthians is written to fix the dumb problems. They had them. And they were trying to say, but we're all right. But you're all on AFM, and you're talking tongues in AM. You're doing everything on AM. And it's supposed to be FM. And you're just wrong. I'm keep reading, because it helps. Verse 3. And you are yet carnal. 4. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as humans, men, not carnal, not spiritual believers. You just walk like everybody else does. So everyone can understand AM. You speak in AM. I like hearing AM. I like singing in AM. I like doing it in AM. I like it because I can follow it. If you're really lifted up and let God's wonderful person prevail, then our hearts are lifted up and humbled. God, wow. Wow, God, wow. And all these side little thoughts. I think of when we did the building, and I think of the dear Jewish people that helped us with the building and different things, curtains and stuff. And to remind ourselves, don't have it all decorated and lights flashing. It isn't about us. It's about God. So you keep it all. All the bricks are the same. You keep it subdued. Curtains are not flashing. Quiet. I have some good ties. I have different ties. But I try to wear ties that don't, I have bright ties. I wear dull ties. I don't want you looking at my tie. It isn't about me. I don't want anything. That's the whole point of the building, to have no distractions. So the only one you're thinking about is God. No distractions, just God. Wow, got it? And you do it. Now, so therefore, verse 16, know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Well, no, the trouble is they are doing it in the wrong way. They aren't enjoying being the temple of God. They aren't enjoying it. They're missing out on that, being His in a most wonderful way. So, sliding down, if I can, in the light of that, over to chapter 6, they're missing out. Remember now, they should be going to church knowing they're the temple of God. By that I mean, they all come together and God finds His home right among us. Revelation 2:1, and He walketh in the midst of the assemblies. He walketh up and down in the aisle. It's His place. It's all about Him. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, over in chapter 6, and in chapter 6, sliding over, if I may, remember now, they aren't, all of the truths that you're looking at, that they aren't enjoying them. That's why they're written and given chapter after chapter. Why? You wouldn't read this stuff. You wouldn't read these things in the book of Ephesians. You'll read them in Corinthians, because that's where it was. The Ephesians weren't having these problems. The Corinthians are having these problems because they thought, because they were spirit, they got saved and spiritual. They thought they were everything, and they sought to do it without including God. They left God, the Holy Spirit, out of the equation. And you tried to get your vitamin C without taking the pill. And you don't get your vitamin C. You think you got vitamin C, but you don't. Now, so, having said that, sliding over if I can. Boy, I'm sorry I ate up all the time, but I hope I'll keep doing it. At least, I hope, a remnant. Not everybody. Would to God it was everybody. At least a remnant will at least have some understanding on how to do stuff and be everything. Otherwise, you're sheep for the slaughter out there. So you need to understand, not just say, I understand. You need to really understand. You need to really, really, really understand so that you could get up and do just what I just did. You need to understand that well. Say, well, I can't do that. You need to be able to do that. Because what I just mumbled out is the same thing you could read. And you could read it just like I did. Now, can't you? Same words. Same everything. So you need to practice it.